Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Welcome, one and all, to Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's me, it's me, it's Mr. FSP. Don't want to do the dope for you all day, every day. I just don't know what else to say. We got a jam-packed show for you. Let's get to it. I'm doing my Barack Obama. I have no idea why. But anyway, on this episode, me, that would be Mr. FSP, to you, and Jerry will discuss the increasingly social conscience of the NFL and how the Atlanta Falcons parted ways just recently with their fourth-round pick of last year. I'm talking about Prince Chimbo. We're going to talk about why they parted ways with him and the repercussions of his actions, not the Falcons' actions, but the actions of the player who happens to be 23 years old. Also, JT and I are going to discuss Tom Brady's appeal to the NFL set for June 23rd. What does it mean when Robert Kraft and Roger Goodell in the NFL agree on the penalty or penalties that the Patriots were levied, but Tom Brady still goes through with the appeal process? Now, I know he has to do some part of it because of the union and all that stuff, but what does that tell you about Tom Brady and what might be the outcome? Is Brady going to be the fall guy for this? Don't know. We'll talk about it. We'll also talk about the top 100 list, numbers 70 through 61. Some pretty good players in that group. And much like a year or so ago, when Peyton Manning was, you know, out of the NFL or didn't play in the NFL or whatever the case may be, a player that was pretty much on the shelf all year last year, made the top 100. Interesting. We'll compare the NBA Finals as far as the Cavs and the Warriors go. We're going to talk about how they're going to win and who's going to win the series. Me being on the West Coast, I'll take the Warriors. JT on the East Coast, he'll take the Cavs. We'll discuss it. But we're also going to talk about, you know, who we think is going to win. So, finally, we're going to touch on the NHL playoffs. Tampa Bay Lightning have punched their ticket to the Stanley Cup Finals. Now they have went the winners of the Chicago Blackhawks and Anaheim Ducks, who are having a very good series of their own, but only one will face off the Tampa Bay Lightning for the Stanley Cup. All that and more. Sit back, relax, enjoy yourself. And ladies and gentlemen, really soon, I think probably tomorrow on the Master Plan, we're going to talk about a partnership with DraftKings. It's not a big partnership, but it can be. It can be. Well, without further ado, let me bring in my gracious host or co-host, the man with the most, JT Money. Talk to him, JT.
Well, thank you for that fine introduction. And at least you acknowledge I'm the man with the most. I like that.
Whatever. Are you ready?
I'm ready, just like Freddie, man. Let's get this thing rolling. You know, I'm never one short on an opinion, so let's get this show on the road then. Let's do it.
All right. Well, first topic, and I know you probably have a lot to say about it, but I'm going to, or you may or may not even know what I'm talking about. But the Atlanta Falcons just today cut ties with Prince Shambo, their fourth-round pick of last year, who was actually a very good football player, young and upcoming linebacker, for his dog endangerment charges. Now, for those who don't know the story, on Friday, Georgia issued a arrest warrant for Prince Shambo for him allegedly kicking his ex-girlfriend's Yorkie several times. Now, the Yorkie dies sometime later. And Shambo finds out after he calls his ex-girlfriend and says, you know, what if I tell you I kicked the dog? And the girlfriend asks, well, was that the only time? He says, no. And then, now let me put, the guy is 6'1", 253 pounds. A Yorkie is about a good 4 or 5 pounds at best. I don't know why he kicked it. Didn't say why he kicked it.
He bit him.
Time.
Oh, he bit him. Okay.
Well, I can understand. However, that does not make me a dog hater or a dog kicker. I have or had two dogs of my own. So anyway, after the ex-girlfriend learns of this, she asks the doctor to find out, you know, or the veterinarian to find out what was the issue. Turns out the dog died of multiple contusions, inner contusions, and of blunt force, which Shambo admits could have been him. Now, Shambo says, and this is the weird part about it, he says, or said, allegedly, to the girlfriend, he would leave the country because he knows how much time he would do in prison for animal cruelty. Now, this is a federal charge. I did not know it could be a federal charge. I knew it could be, he could be arrested for it, but not a federal charge. He's facing federal charges for animal cruelty. Now, I know people take their pets seriously felony animal cruelty, which you can pretty much say is federal because felony, if you have a felony of any sort, you're going to do some fed time. This isn't time at, you know, the local police department or anything like that. It's going to be federal time. All because the dog kept biting them, which is crazy. But the other part of the story is he's an Atlanta Falcon.
Again.
Everybody knows, yeah, everybody knows what happened with Michael Vick when he was an Atlanta Falcon and all that transpired. People seem to forget that he didn't go to jail for animal cruelty or endangerment. He went to jail for RICO charges, racketeering, for the money he made off the dog fights, not for killing the dogs, but for the money he was making off of them. But an Atlanta Falcon getting arrested for animal endangerment gets cut or waived, whatever you want to use, the next day or the next morning after the arrest warrant is issued. I don't know. I'm not going to say it's a cultural thing. I'm not going to say anything like that. I'm going to say, first of all, I know you like the girl, but I would not admit to kicking the dog on multiple occasions. Maybe once or twice, but not on multiple occasions so that the woman can say, I killed the dog. Not at all. So Mr. Shambo, who spent his entire youth trying to get to the NFL, gets to the NFL, is a very productive player, is now out of the NFL facing felony animal cruelty charges and may go to prison for some time. He's not a dominant player, so there is no guarantee that he's going to get a second chance in the NFL like Michael Vick. JT, I'm opening up the door and the floor. Have at it.
You know, if those who listen to this program have listened to the master plan, I went on a rant last Sunday about a number of players getting involved in whatever, which entails in getting him arrested or somehow getting involved with the law in one form or another. And after I got off on Sunday, not realizing that it took place on Sunday, that one of the guys I mentioned was Ray McDonald. And he got subsequently in trouble 2 times in 3 days, arrested 2 times in 3 days. Now this guy, among the others that I talked about on past Sunday, does something extremely bad. Let me put it that way. And lands him on the wrong side of the law and possibly landing him behind bars. But we'll have to wait and see if that happens. I'll say it again on Sunday, and I'll say it again. I know, Vic, you heard it. Let the money. Let me put it this way. Work the money. Don't let the money work you. I'll put it that way. And this guy, not a really successful football player, but fairly, he had a decent year for his first year, whatever it was. And decides to take his frustration out, regardless of what this dog was doing, on his dog. And it seems like it was numerous times. I have a dog. I'm a dog lover myself. And a 4 to 5 pound, maybe 6 pound soaking wet Yorkie. And you do that to the dog. And it looked like numerous times. And this one killed the dog. You know, I have no sympathy for him if this is true. And you reap what you sow. And one of these days, these guys that get in trouble are going to wake up and turn over a new leaf and realize what they have, very few people in the world have, and you should covet it and appreciate it and not think you're owed it, meaning the millions of dollars to $100,000 you get paid to play a game that you love and people adore you. So in closing, it is what it is. He did the crime. Possibly he's going to have to do the time, unfortunately.
Now, he hasn't been convicted yet. He has not been convicted.
At that possibly. There, that's why I said possibly.
The thing is, you know, I'm not going to say he was provoked, even though he was, by a little ankle biter, literally. but I got to wonder, JT.
What's that? About?
What type of time is this guy going to get for killing the dog? Unintentionally.
Well, and let me put it this way. If he kicked him, that's not unintentional. But when you kick somebody, your intent is to do some type of bodily harm. So that's not unintentional.
Okay. I got it. Okay, so that leads to the next question. And some animal activists are probably going to yell at me for this or whatever, but does that dog have the same rights or is treated the same as a human? What I mean by that is this. I am not condoning any form of animal or human abuse. Not whatsoever.
Sounds like you're downplaying it, though.
But, no. I'm trying not to. What I'm saying is the dog continually bites you. You are, quote unquote, defending yourself because the dog continually bites. And the owner isn't doing anything about it. Okay?
Are you laying out the scenario, or is this something that's in stone somewhere that you know?
No,
or is this just a hypothetical?
This is what I would see the situation being. Not that it's all, you know, written somewhere, but I can see how it can play out. So
just watch yourself.
With the girl, well, again, I'm not trying to defend the Shambo
right.
in this, and I'm not trying to accuse the dog or the mother, I mean, or the woman, but I can understand how it could happen. So the young man is over the girl's house, whatever the case may be, and the dog is biting at him, nipping at him, you know, ripping his clothes, whatever the case may be. And he's like, leave me alone. Move away. And, you know, the girl thinks it's all cute, but he's like, all right, look, get your dog away from me, da-da-da-da-da. Then other things happen.
Well, you don't know.
Unrelated to the dog that caused them to break up. But because the dog keeps, you know, gnawing at him and the girlfriend hasn't done anything, he's like, well, I'm going to kick him. Now I'll teach him to get away from me. So he kicks him one time. He goes away and, you know, doesn't bother him again. But when he comes back over, the dog continually does the deed or whatever. And, you know, again, with the woman not knowing, he kicks the dog again, you know, several times, da-da-da-da-da. Finally, the couple break up. And apparently, he's kicked the dog so many times that the dog suffered some internal injuries that it caused him to die.
Before you go any further, Vic, because it sounds like you're downplaying a little bit, and I'm going to give you what the injuries the dog had, and bring a conclusion to what really happened here. The dog had a fractured rib, fractured liver, abdominal hemorrhage, thoracic hemorrhage, extensive bruising, and hemorrhage in the muscles in her front leg and shoulders, head trauma, hemorrhage and edema in lungs, hemorrhage between the esophagus and trachea, and hemorrhage in the left eye with internal injuries. That's a lot. That's a lot.
That can also happen with one kick. That can happen with one good punt. But it is not condoned. Not whatsoever. I'm being honest, JT. I'm not saying that the man shouldn't pay for, you know, hurting a dog or killing the dog or eventually killing the dog. But I do think he should not have to serve 4 or 5 years for that action. The reason
Michael Vick didn't serve 4 or 5 years. He only served 2 years.
I got it, but that was because he got probation and all that other stuff. He didn't serve a full sentence.
Okay.
And Michael Vick didn't go to jail again for dog endangerment or animal endangerment. He went to prison for a week ago.
But it had to do with animal cruelty. And I understand what you're saying, but any reasonable person, just like they surmised in that Brady report, any reasonable person with a reasonable thinking, in my opinion, if I saw all these injuries to this dog, I know he's a small dog, I know it's a big guy, would think that this took more than one kick. I can almost guarantee this took more than one. It probably took at least three kicks for that this to happen. At least.
I'm not a vet,
but I'm looking at all these injuries to a dog that this size. I would think that if he kicked him once, he or she, I forget if it was a dog with a male or female, it doesn't make a difference to me. Not that I'm discounting a dog. I'm just saying the injuries because of the size of this dog and the vast amount of injuries, I would think that he at least kicked him three times and probably more. And if that's the case, then the first kick, the dog would probably stay away because most dogs come back at you when you give them a nice if you give a nice hit, if you do something traumatic to them, most dogs don't really come back at you. They gather themselves. So that means to me that the first kick was get off of me. The second, third, or whatever it kicks after that were mean-spirited and intentional to hurt intentional to hurt. Cause damage, period. This guy is going, if it's all true, he's in serious trouble. I don't know exactly what the penalty is, but I can guarantee that the authorities, especially in the state of Georgia, are going to go after this guy with very vicious intentions of putting him in jail, unfortunately.
I got it. I mean, don't get me wrong, JT. I understand and I agree. You know, how do I want to put this? I think it's all due to, you know, a sensitive nature of our society. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not saying a dog's life or animal's life is any less than a human's life.
It sounds like that's what you're saying. Saying.
Listen.
I'm listening. I know you better backtrack because it sure sounds like that's what you're saying.
I'm not going to backtrack. Because when we go to other cultures and other countries, which
one
of the
things? This is not other countries. This is the United States.
I know. Listen to what I'm going to, though. When Americans go to other cultures and eat dog, because they cannot do it in America, and some people like it, it becomes a delicacy. So, you know, and I, for one, will never, ever, 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 ever eat a dog because I don't want to try it. I don't want that. To me, I can't, you know, I look at a dog or a cat as my friend, not a pet. Not a menu item. Some people look at pigs and stuff the same way, so they don't eat it. Like my daughter, she's become a vegetarian because she doesn't want animals. I respect that. I mean, she'll be 13, but she understands, you know, what has to happen to an animal in order for her to consume it. So animal cruelty can be looked at many different ways. Eating a cow, having veal, a baby calf. So that means that you have to let the cow have the calf and then slaughter the calf before the calf has even become fully grown. We fatten up our pigs. We fatten up our chickens and all these other things so we can eat them. But because it's not acceptable to eat a dog in our culture, it's frowned upon.
Well, I'm frowning upon you because you're trying to equate calves and pigs to a dog who's considered a pet, just like a cat. And I know there's pigs and other animals that are considered as pets, but you keep dancing around it. But now you just hit the nail right on the head, and you're downplaying. And regardless of what you may think, I'm perceiving. Wait a minute, I'm perceiving you as downplaying the life of a dog as not that significant. And if a dog happens to be, and it's a small dog, happens to be nipping at a human, a guy that's 6 feet something and 250 pounds or less, a little less, it sounded to me that it's acceptable, because the fact is the dog seems like he's being a pest per se, and I think you're walking down the wrong road here.
Now that's what I want to tell you. I don't feel that way. What I'm saying is that a person should not be abusing their pet, period. But for someone who eats animals to condemn, you know, the guy after he, you know, he did abuse it, and he admitted to the girl, allegedly, that he kicked it a few times, which caused the internal issues and the eventual death, allegedly. You can't say, you know, we don't tenderize our meats. We don't do all these things. True, it's after they've already been killed, but you get that cow into the slaughterhouse and you lock its head into the thing and you gut it. You let it bleed dry and then you sell it for parts. That's cruel. But because you have a license to kill the animal, if you've got a license as a police officer to kill black men and kill people in the streets because you are protecting the peace. But the point that I'm trying to get to is that the guy did something wrong. I don't think he should go to prison for a very long time for what he did. He wasn't, you know, fighting them. He wasn't making money off of them. It was an irritant that he dealt with extremely badly. He's not Charles Manson. But you serve some time, you pay the fine, whatever it is you have to do, and you move on. But the Atlanta Hawks, Falcons, I should say, released this guy because of, you know, prior situations, and they don't want that back on them with Michael Vick. They don't want that stigma on him. He made a huge mistake, no doubt. Huge mistake. But I don't think, you know, saying that he took the life of a little puppy dog in malice and all this other stuff warrants, you know, it doesn't warrant that type of response. It doesn't. Only the intent. I don't see his intent as in wanting to kill the dog. That's where I get the point across. I see the
well
my point is his intent wasn't to kill the dog.
Well, wait a minute. But if that's the case, and I'll equate this. If that's the case, how about the guy, and I think you know where I'm going here, how about the guy in New York City that was out on the street? I think he was illegally selling cigarettes, and the police subdued him. They weren't intending to try to kill him. They were just trying to subdue him, to arrest him, whatever. And he passed away. So are you going to excuse the police officer wait a minute. Let me finish. Because your analogy is the same thing I'm talking about. And I'm not excusing the police officer, but I'm giving you the same scenario in human form, that the police officers that eventually caused the death of this person in New York City, on the sidewalk in New York City, didn't have the intention causing the death of him, but he passed away already. So you're saying, if I'm reading this right, wait a minute. This is what you laid out to me, and this is what I'm saying when he said that you're downplaying the dog, that because you assuming their mindset that they weren't intentionally trying to kill the dog or trying to kill the man, that they shouldn't serve that much time. They should be let off because supposedly their intention wasn't to kill, just to harm. Well, I find that very hard to digest, for one, that you can actually know what the mindset of somebody is at the time of a particular violent action was taking place, and then justify it because you're saying that their intent, and I'm talking about this football player, wasn't to kill this dog. His intent was to get the dogs to stop biting him. Well, if you kick the dog once or twice, or even grab the dog, and I'm sure he probably had a cage, or put him in another room away from you, then your intent wasn't to kill the dog. But if you keep kicking the dog, which I think this is what happened, your intent was to do some damage to the dog. And eventually the dog passed away for all the injuries. But that's on you, because you're the one who performed the action, and the reaction was the dog passed away. So that's on you. So I don't know how much time he's possibly have to serve, but he's going to have to, if he gets convicted of this, and it's in the infancy stage right now, then he's going to have to serve the time. Plain and simple. I can't downplay it just because it's a dog. I can't downplay it because he just looked like he kicked him with some malice.
No one is downplaying the act, Jerry. Again,
it sounds like you are. And this has nothing to do with me being an animal lover. But what you're saying is, you're telling me his intent wasn't to kill the dog, but his intent was to harm the dog. And prevent the dog from coming back at him multiple times. Now, he's 200-something pounds, 6-foot-something. You can't tell me that a 2, 3, 4 pound, 6 pound Yorkie can't be subdued by a guy that big, put in another room somewhere away from you.
Two things. One.
Yeah.
Can you subdue a gnat? No, you can't. Could the woman have put the dog in a different? Can you subdue a gnat? No, you cannot. That's an irritant. It bugs you all the time in the summertime when you had a fire or whatever, a little buzzing around in your face.
Right.
But you know what? You got to kill it in order to get it away from you. But on the other side, the woman could have moved the dog to a different place as well. The woman could have moved the dog to a different location in order not to bother him. But she didn't. Again, I am not condoning killing the dog. All I am saying is that the young man made a mistake in trying to stop the dog from bothering him, messing with him. And he did something or several things that led to the eventual death of the dog. Got it. If you're going to, compare the New York City situation to this, now that would be a miscarriage of justice and a false or terrible, terrible metaphor, because it's totally different. Totally different. But we're
not different.
We're
not
different.
And
It is. I'll let you argue.
I was telling you about a half hour we'd be on this. That's why I would say that I was just about to tell you that we should move on.
That's what we're about to do. Yeah, half hour of you ranting and raving. All right. Okay. So what are we going to do, ladies and gentlemen?
You're right with me.
Yes, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to discuss the NFL Top 100 and another legal matter, Tom Brady. In brief, and we're going to move on to basketball and a little NHL hockey. Stick it there with me, your boy FSV. We'll be back shortly.
Looking for fantasy sports advice? How about informative conversation? Look no further, as the Master Plan features two men that can help in both areas. Jerry the Master Taylor and Lance the NFL Exporter Goodman provide you with a fantasy fix live every Sunday morning on the Master Plan at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. That's the Master Plan, Sundays 10 a.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK and streaming at spotonradio.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety, the Master Plan. Thursday night is the right time to kick back and listen to the FSP Crew Show as they break down the weekend sports and prepare you for Thursday night football. 8 p.m. Eastern, just before the game starts, Jerry the Master Taylor hosts the show with Jeff the Joker Goldberg and Mike the Bookie Monster Wright. The three gentlemen debate and discuss a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of everything on the FSP Crew Show every Thursday night on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.webs.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Bigger, badder than ever, doing what we do because we do it for you, only because I like what I do. It's me, it's Mr. FSP, along with JT, ATM Money. And you missed a little spirited debate about a little chihuahua. Not a chihuahua, but a Yorkie. And it was interesting.
See,
Jared probably talked about it tomorrow.
You downplaying it again.
I didn't.
That's okay.
I did not.
That's all right.
I'm gonna talk about it tomorrow.
I guarantee it. Guarantee it. You better call in because you're gonna get blasted tomorrow.
Whatever. So let's move on to another situation in the NFL that's had some legal ramifications. On June 23rd, Tom Brady's appeal to the NFL is set to take place. Roger Goodell was refused as as recusing himself from the proceedings, so Tom Brady's going to get Roger Goodell anyway. So we'll see happens there. Yes, Tom, terrific. Again, Robert Kraft and the New England Patriots have already agreed to the punishment the NFL has set forth before them. Before, they were adamant that they had nothing to do with it, they weren't going to do anything, and they needed a apology and all this other mess. But the tone changed this week. It changed in the sense of contriteness. That tells me they have something on Tom Brady that the Patriots and Robert Kraft are backing down and accepting their punishment. JT, we understand that because of the union, Tom Brady has to do something. But how far does Tom Brady take this? And if the Pats and Robert Kraft accepted the punishment, why shouldn't Tom go?
Well, he's a part of the players' union, and this could set the players' union have to protect him. And he's Tom Brady. This is going to be a dog and pony show, and I think they're going to take it as far as they can take it. And this is another moment that Roger Goodell is on a hot seat. Even though a lot of people think Tom Brady's on a hot seat, Roger Goodell's going to be the jury and executioner, not the judge. Well, I should say the judge, jury, and executioner. Let me put it this way. Put it that way because he's the one that's going to hear the appeal. Not that he didn't know what was going to happen when Troy Vincent came up with the punishment. I'm pretty sure he advised his boss what he was going to do. Instead of Roger Goodell doing and meting out the punishment, he let Troy Vincent do it, opening up the door for him to be the one of the ones with an option he had of hearing an appeal, if there was going to be an appeal. Quite naturally, there is going to be one. Tom Brady is going to see Goodell and the Players Union. It had to be like this. Roger Goodell had that option, and he took it. And we'll see how long, if it's going to work or not. Now, Goodell hasn't had a good track record. Most of his penalties lately have been overturned. And I'm looking, just like I'm always said from the beginning, this is not going to be four games. It's probably going to be two. I'd be surprised if it's upheld for four. And if it is, or if it's, even if it's two, I think that's going to be taken to in court somehow, that the NFLPA is going to try to drive this to put another chink in Roger Goodell's armor. Tom Brady's the poster boy. This is a big deal because he's the poster boy of the NFL, one of the biggest names in the NFL. And this is a watershed moment for Goodell and the Players Union on who's going to get the upper hand against their Tom Terrific poster boy facing the NFL, whatever you want to say, Tom Brady.
Well, I'll tell you like this. There's a interesting situation here. Troy Vincent, once the vice president of the NFLPA, ran for the position of president of the NFLPA, lost to DeMaurice Smith, got a job with the NFL, became or is now, I guess, the senior vice president of operations in the NFL. So I believe that makes him number two or number three behind Roger Goodell. Troy Vincent comes up with the punishment, sees the fault in the actions, and levies the punishment. Roger Goodell now has the opportunity to either stick beside Troy Vincent, his number two or three in line, and uphold the full punishment, or say, you know what, Troy, you did a little too much. We're going to reduce it. Now, here's the conspiracy. With Roger Goodell and Bob Kraft having the type of relationship that they do and having the meetings that they have had in the recent past, I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to be, well, you know what? Hey, look, we're going to hit you with, since you've accepted your fine and stuff, that's fine. We'll trade that off and reduce Tom Brady's suspension to two games. And, you know, that'll be what's best for business. I'll save face. You guys save face. And Brady, he'll get a little black mark on his name, but it's nothing he can't defeat. So, this is all wrapped up in a nice little bow. None of the sponsors are hurt. All the owners, except for Robert Kraft, are happy with Goodell for showing the world that not only is he the commissioner against the players, he's the commissioner against the owners, even though the owners are his bosses. So it gives a strong, united front for Roger Goodell and the NFL. Tom Brady. I believe there's more dirt on him than a little bit. Not all of it's going to get exposed. Maybe once he's done, retired, looking at going to the Hall of Fame or, you know, getting compared to other people when they do a football life, whatever the case may be, a lot of it will come out after he is inducted into the Hall of Fame. I think he's going to play it up just like Lance Armstrong. Yes, I said Lance Armstrong, who for decades denied having any use of performance-enhancing drugs, only to reveal to Oprah and the world that he had been lying for so long. And the only reason why he was coming out now was because the statute of limitations had been reached. Unfortunately for him, he's still having to deal with owing people a lot of money for accepting funds for actions he did not rightfully obtain. That's not going to happen with Tom Brady. You can't give back the Super Bowl rings. You can't give back the Super Bowl victories. You can't give back the MVPs. You can't do any of that stuff. Those are his lock, stock, and barrel. His legacy is the only thing that might get tarnished. But with a wife such as Gisele Bündchen, kids, big houses, cars, money to last a lifetime, that legacy might be tarnished a little bit, but I think he'll be able to live with it. So Tom Brady, what I'm saying to you, my friend, is I don't believe that you had nothing to do with this situation. I don't believe that you have never crossed the line as it pertains to winning football games and or championships. I believe you're just as complicit as Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots are in every scandal. However, I can't prove it. I can't say that firing the two, equipment managers is an indictment on you and the Patriots trying to protect you. Can't say that. I can speculate it, though. So we'll see as time goes on. June 23rd, not that far away, 23 days away. 23 days away. I believe today is May 30th or May 31st. Oh, yeah, May 31st is Sunday. 24 days away. And we'll see. We shall see. At any rate, JT, I think Tom Brady and the New England Patriots are headed for a long downfall. Long downfall. That's just my thought. Let's transition quickly to the NFL Top 100 players, where numbers 70 through 61 were revealed. Before I get into these numbers and names, were you surprised by any of them?
No, I wasn't surprised. I'm pretty numb to these numbers now because of what I've been voicing the last few times we've been talking about this, how these guys are listed so far. And we can get into each one of them, but there's guys that are near the bottom of the list that should be flipped with these guys that are on this list right now.
Okay, before I get into them, do you think that anybody in that bottom 10 deserve to be in any of these spots above here? We're about to talk
without
about
a doubt. Without okay. a doubt.
Okay. I do know two of them that I think should and probably need to be flip-flop, but we'll see. We'll talk about it. All right, coming in at number 70. Last year's number 43 dropped all the way to number 70, Tamba Ali. Admittedly, was not his best year, but he had some really, really good plays this year that impacted the game. Him and Chris Houston, who, oh, by the way, I haven't seen on the list yet, unless I missed him. And if Tamba's below Houston, I can understand that because Houston was the more active of the two. Coming in number 69, the Michelangelo Ninja Turtle lover, Bobby Wagner, who was not on the list last year. a guy that took a huge tumble as well. A huge tumble. 30 spots tumble. Even though he had a pretty productive year between the hurt quarterbacks, is Larry Fitzgerald at number 68. So, JT, let's talk about those three first. Larry Fitzgerald, 68. Bobby Wagner, 69. Tom Ali, 70. Go.
Tom Ali is probably right around where I would have him. And that's probably all I'm going to say about that. Now let's talk about the other two guys, 68 and 69, especially 69. There is no way in hell, in my opinion, that Bobby Wagner should be 69. He should be within the top 50. This is one of the heart and soul of the Seattle Seahawks defense. If you watch the Seattle defense, when he wasn't in there, it was a totally different defense, not the same impact type of defense as it was when he was in the lineup. So he's a huge impact player, especially on that defense, and a very smart player. And anybody who, and I'm surprised these players voted like this, that is in tune with the NFL would put him at 69. He's definitely within the top 50, and I probably put him in the top 25. Believe it or not. Larry Fitzgerald, I have no problem with Larry Fitzgerald being 68, but if Randall Cobb and Emmanuel Sanders are in the bottom 10 in the 100, there is no way Larry Fitzgerald should be 68. Now, that may be a contradiction, but those two players outplayed Larry Fitzgerald, and it wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. So to have Larry Fitzgerald at 68 and the other two players in the bottom half of the 90s, close to 100, is a travesty, is an absolute travesty. So that's basically all I got to say about that. I mean, some of these guys you see that are in this that we're going to talk about, they should be lower on this list, and some of these guys that are lower should be higher on the list. This is one of the craziest lists I've ever seen of the 100. I don't know what these guys are basing it on, but I don't know if it's a popularity contest, but I'm baffled by how some of these players can be so high, and others that are clearly ballers, big time ballers, huge impact players on their team, are way, way down on the list, like an afterthought.
I'll tell you, I got to agree with you on the Fitzgerald situation, and maybe even on the Bobby Wagner situation. I think he's better than several other people that are listed ahead of him in this group because of the impact he has for the team. Fitz, I agree with you. Maybe he needs to be in that bottom 100, bottom 10 as opposed to the other two, Cobb and oh my God, I forgot his name that quickly.
Other Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, Emmanuel Sanders. There you go. Thank you.
And Julian Edelman is down there, way down on the list too.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, it is what it is. So I can agree with you on that. Let's move on to 67, 66, 65. 67, you know, Tyshawn Gibson is not a bad safety. You know, he was better with Deshaun Goodson, who's now a Washington Redskin. But, you know, he, Joe Hayden, and the rest of that Cleveland Browns secondary is not that bad. I think 67 is a good place for Tayshaun, but there are a few players down there below him, and I'm not just talking about the receivers, I'm talking about players in general, that I believe are better than him or impacted the game more than he did at number 67. Number 66, Mr. Levy, Mr. DeAndre Levy, Levy, however you want to say it. Last year's number 59, this year's number 66. But he had a better year statistically this year than he did last year.
So that's what I'm saying. This is crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, it is what it is. So he drops, what, seven places after having a better year. I don't know. Now, a guy that you were all in love with and told him, hey, he's going to be my guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, Gary Kubiak. Yeah, 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 yeah. Justin Forsett, number 65.
I don't tell you.
Now, I think Justin should be in the top 50. Maybe not top 40, but top 50 for sure. So I don't like him at 65. And I definitely don't like him behind another running back that's in this group. But I guess it's more on the lines of who you are and what you've done over the past several years as opposed to just last year. Your thoughts? Justin Forsett, DeAndre Levy, Tayshaun Gibson.
Tayshaun Gibson and DeAndre Levy, these guys are ballers. Ballers. Anybody who deal with IDPs or knows anything about defense, these guys are ballers. Tayshaun Prince is a safety. DeAndre Levy is a linebacker. And both these guys are all over the field. DeAndre Levy can cover wide receivers, believe it or not, at the linebacker. He's a hell of a baller. To be 66 and 67, these guys should be, in my opinion, both of them should be higher than this, especially DeAndre Levy. Like you said, he had a better year than he had last year, and he was, what, six or seven positions higher? How does that happen? And then you got Justin Forsett, who I think should be, in my opinion, lower on this list because I don't think he's going to have the same type of year that he had last year.
But JT, again, I agree with you, but again, this is based on last year, supposed to be based on last year, not this upcoming season or the potential.
No, it's the top 100 of 2015. No, top 100 players of 2015. Meaning, this is what you think these players are ranked coming into this year. That's how I take it. Not the top 100 players of last year. The top 100 players of 2015. And I don't think Justin Forsett is number 65. I think he should be lower. Lower. He only had one good year. If anything, and I know this is probably he may not even be in the top 100 because he's only had one year of production. What's to say that was an anomaly, that he's going to do that again? He's going to turn, 30 this year? And who knows what may happen to him? That's one of the reasons why they – Ravens drafted Buck Allen because Talavera didn't seem like they were up to the task of taking the job for set. And maybe Buck Allen is a good play. And he may show out in OTAs and in training camp. Not that he's going to take over Forsett's job, but we have to wait and see. The jury's out on Forsett. He only showed one year. He was a journeyman up until last year. He only showed one year of production. Let's see what happens before you decide to give him 65 in the top 100. I mean, wow. Wow, that's all I can say, that he would be 65. Now, I had him on a few of my teams and one team that won the championship. Now, I'm amazed that they had him at 65. I thought he would be a lot lower than 65. He had a good year, but it's only one year. Prove it to me. Show me more than one year.
Well, that's his aim. That is his aim. Let's finish out the last four members of this group. And we're going
to
start
one crazy, two crazy ones. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but there's two crazy ones in here.
Okay. The Elder Statesman, Charles Woodson, number 64. I think that's about right. Charles Woodson did an excellent job this year at rebounding and having a comeback year, being a very vital part of the Raiders secondary, even though the secondary was still bad.
36, 37 years old, isn't he?
He's kind of old. But at number 64, yeah, that's where he lands. Then at number 63, mm-hmm, we have Jerry Hughes. Jerry
Baller.
Hughes is a D lineman. Yes, he is. He is a D lineman that wears number 55 because he's a defensive end. He plays outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme for Buffalo when they go that route. But when they go four down, he's a D end. Then you have at number 62, a man that played about three games last year.
Only played one game.
One game.
I have to trust me. He played one game.
Okay, one game. That would be Adrian Peterson. Just at number 62 above a lot of other players. Now, I get it. They did the same thing with Peyton Manning a couple years ago because of the impact of not having Peyton Manning, how the Colts were. And I guess, and I'm going on the same lines, that AP is getting the same type of treatment because of the impact that the Minnesota Vikings were since he didn't play. And closing out this group, which I know Jerry's probably going to have a bit of heartburn with, at least I do anyway, considering our rant and rage about other players, Jeremy Maclin.
What?
61. Jeremy Maclin. All right, JT. Have at it.
61, 62. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Jeremy Maclin, 61. Now, I know he balled out last year. He had, 10 touchdowns last year in the Chip Kelly offense. You're going. And this is supposed to be, now, I don't think these players quite understand what the hell is going on here with this list. This is supposed to be the top 100 players, and I'll pound the desk, top 100 players of 2015, not the top 100 players reflecting back on 2014. And how the hell, and I'll start with the 61 first, how the hell can you have Jeremy Maclin there? Jeremy Macklin's going to a team that hadn't thrown a touchdown pass since, October or November of 2013. I'm talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. They hadn't thrown a touchdown pass to a wide receiver since October or November of 2013. What team has ever gone, that I can remember, I can't, without throwing a touchdown pass, at least one, to a wide receiver for a whole season and then some? I can't remember any team. Well, I can't remember now because Kansas City has done it. And Jeremy Maclin's going to Alex Smith. 2015, top 100 players, and you put Jeremy Maclin at 61? Are you kidding me? He should be even on this list. If he is, then he should be way down there near 100, because if he gets five touchdown passes from Alex Smith, and I'm saying a handful, five touchdown passes, I'll be extremely surprised. Extremely surprised. Then we go to AP. 62? Are you kidding me? Can you be serious? At one point, he was the top player. I think last year, he was the top player. Last year, if I'm not mistaken, Adrian Peterson, top 100 players of 2014, was number one. And now he's 62?
No, number two. Aaron Rodgers was number one.
Okay. Number two. Well, big difference. Number two, number one, they probably could have been interchangeable on anybody's list. But in the top 100 players of 2014, AP was number two. and now he drops 60 spots to 62? So you don't think AP is going to be that good? He's going to be the 62nd best player of 2015, because that's what this list is about. It's supposed to be about who's what type of this is about top 100 players of 2015, not the top 100 players that were in 2014. Top 100 players in 2015. So these guys are saying these guys should be the top 100 players going into this year. Now, AP, there's no way in all God's glory that AP should be 62. No way. Top 10, possibly top 5, without a doubt. Without a doubt. There is no way AP drops 60 spots. Absolutely no way. Unbelievable what this, that's what I'm saying. I don't even look at this list until we talk about it on Saturdays, because I get too worked up, obviously, as you see, about where some of these players are listed, and it makes no sense to me. These guys, I don't know where to, what kind of thinking. The consensus is crazy here. AP 62, BS. That's all I got to say.
Okay. Say it with your chest. And again, I believe you're wrong. I believe this is a ranking upon last year, not the forecast for the upcoming season. But, you know, the NFL Network can clarify that for us.
Vic, it doesn't say the top 100 players of 2014, meaning you're reflecting back on the players of 2014 and saying these were the top players of 2014. This is supposed to be, and they have clarified it, this is supposed to be the 100 players, top 100 players of 2015. You're not supposed to go on back history. You're supposed to reflect on who you think is going to be the top players of this year. That's, and they've said that, I think last year, and I haven't really watched it this year, but they definitely have clarified it. I forget the woman who talks about it. She specifically said this is supposed to be about the top 100 players that you see are coming into this year, not past history. So regardless if it's past history or not, Adrian Peterson, regardless of what happens, still a top player. He's still a top, not 62.
You done?
I'm trying to be dumb, man, but you got me worked up. I try to say I'm going to be calm today. I've been giving Vic a hard time and ranting and raving, but you got me worked up. I'm sorry. Apologize. Apologize. I do.
All right, here we go. Another subject matter. We probably won't get to hockey today, but a subject matter concerning the NBA. We're going to step away real quick. When we come back, we're going to discuss Cleveland Cavaliers taking on the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals. So you can stay with me. It's your boy FSP along with JTAT and Money. We'll be back in a minute.
If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
And that's exactly how JT and Mac do it. They're coming back hopefully this August, if not October. And won't be a lot of that going on. A lot of Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson will be Tom
you
Cruise.
Think
I don't know.
You think I got worked up now? You think I got worked up now?
Well, we'll see what happens when that show materializes. Okay. Let's get into it. NBA basketball. Golden State Warriors, number one seed of the West, took on the number two seed of the East, the Cleveland Cavaliers, in the NBA Finals. LeBron James has willed his team to the Finals yet again, fifth straight for him. Now, here's the deal. Kyrie's back. Klay Thompson. Serious concussion with that flying knee from Trevor Ariza. Don't know if he's going to be 100% come June 4th, which is Thursday. Steph Curry, all the players are in place to have a very good series. I'll play the role of the Golden State Warriors, JT as the Cleveland Cavaliers, and action. Listen up, guys. I know my daughter goes up onto the podium with me and has fun. I just let her run around and do what she wants to do. She looks just like me, and I look just like my mother. I don't know what my dad Dale did, but it wasn't us. But I know with you, Andre Iguodala, with you, Harrison Barnes, you, Clay, and Draymond, I'm too ugly for my own self green, Andrew Bogut, and Festus. Yes, I said you, Festus Ezeli. We make up the best team this year in the NBA. People want to say that LeBron is the best player on the planet. That's great. But even Superman needs Batman from time to time. I don't know what's going to happen over there in Cleveland, but we're winning this championship. We're going to shoot their lights out. We're going to rebound and just outplay them. That's what we do. Go Warrior Nation. And scene. Mr. Taylor, you don't have to agree that Cleveland is going to win, but I don't need you to take on the role of Cleveland. And
I understand. I understand.
All right.
You don't have to explain it. You don't have to explain it to me. I understand.
And
some people have asked me, what's it going to take to slow Stephon Curry down? Well, the same way you slow me down, you slow Stephon Curry down. That being, I say you can't. So we just have to minimize the damage and try to shut down everyone else. Steph's a great player, the MVP of this year. We have some great players. Unfortunately, we have Kevin Love that's not here, but we have a guy who's playing well in his stead, Tristan Thompson. Kyrie is relatively healthy, and he'll be doing his thing along with Iman Shumpert and my other my big time 3-point shooter and why can't I remember his name now? Smith. I think we have a real good chance. It's going to be difficult, but quite obviously we're playing against a team that is has some dynamic shooters. I think we'll be able to come to the task. It's going to be a tough series. I'm looking forward to it. And we'll try to do the best we can to bring a championship home to Cleveland. That's all I got.
Worst pep talk ever. All right. So let's discuss this, Mr. Taylor. First of all, who do you actually think will win the NBA title and how?
Well, let me put it this way. You know, I saw some chinks in Golden State's armor, and I saw some good things coming from Cleveland. I think this is going to be a very interesting battle. I think Cleveland has an extremely difficult task in slowing down the offense of the Golden State Warriors. Unlimited range in Klay Thompson and Stephon Curry. Curry is more adapted getting his own shot versus Klay Thompson, dribbler in the world, and pressure seems to get him to him a little bit more than it does Curry. Iguodala is a very good player against LeBron James. He's got length, and he's a very good defensive player, he's got the mental part of the game that can go up against a player like LeBron and try to slow him down. He's not going to completely stop him. You got two guys that are very inconsistent in three-pointers. I'm talking about Iman Shumpert and I can't remember this guy's name, Smith. J.R. Smith, right. J.R. Smith, who are inconsistent with the three-pointer. Now, they've been playing well in the Chicago series, but this is different. This is the finals. This is the NBA finals, which whole different mindset. And that goes along with a very young team like Golden State. Are they going to play someone like the Houston Rockets, or are they going to play their Golden State game? I think they play their game. I think Stephon is going to keep them loose. Steve Kerr has done a crazy good job in keeping these guys focused. One of the better defensive teams in the NBA, believe it or not. A lot of people think they're just an offensive team. They're one of the better defensive teams in the league. So they average about 110 points and probably down quite naturally in the playoffs, but during the regular season, they average 110 points. And the defense only shut down the offense of the opposition, scoring a little less than 100 points. So I'm thinking that because of the firepower and the defense of Golden State versus the limited firepower of Cleveland, Cleveland's going to play more defensive games, slow it down, and limit the amount of pointers Golden State is going to put up. I don't think that's going to happen. They put up three-pointers like layups. So I like Golden State in there, probably in six games.
Six, that sounds good to me, actually. I also like Golden State. Don't think that there's going to be a big showing for Dellavedova, Shumpert, or J.R. Smith. I think they had a perfect storm versus Atlanta, because they played decently versus Chicago, but they didn't, you know, Chicago gave that series away. I think if Pau Gasol was healthy, would have been a different story and stuff like that. But when they played Atlanta, they played a team that had a very good team, but not the cohesion or experience needed to beat, you know, LeBron and his cast of characters. Again, JR and Shumpert, they shot the lights out. They really did. They put on a good series. I think it's because of who they played. Draymond Green is not going to let, you know, JR Smith have those shots. They're talking about putting Iguodala on LeBron because Iguodala is a better defender. Draymond Green's pretty good at defending, and he can play the low post. As Andrew right. Bogut, you know, can do some things with Mozgov. Mozgov is going to, you know, out-rebound him along with Tristan Thomas. So I think Tristan versus Draymond Green will probably be a good look. That pushes Harrison Barnes, if I'm not mistaken, to the bench. If you're going to have Iguodala and Draymond at the same on the court at the same time. But I also look at the bench players. Sean Livingston, Andrew Barbosa, Festus Ezeli, and David Lee. I think those guys who are constant in that rotation are better than the same group of characters that Chicago, that Cleveland has. They occasionally bring out Sean Marion. They occasionally bring out Sean Marion, I should say. Occasionally bring out C.J. Miles and a few others. But I don't think their second team is anywhere near the caliber of Golden State's second team. And, you know, it's a good thing there's a lot of time between the finals and the last couple games, because that means LeBron and the rest of those guys can heal up. Now, Kyrie and LeBron can put 60, 70 points on a team easily, and that leaves another 30 to 40 points on the bench, which I don't think they're going to have. I think Golden State is a well-balanced team. They can defend, but they prefer to run up and down. And they can hit their shots on the run. One thing I did notice is that Golden State, instead of going for the high percentage shot of the layup, they'll kick it back out to open guy, you know, to shoot a three, which I think might be a mistake, especially when you can get to the hole on Cleveland. You take the hack and the points and go to the free throw line. You know, but if they want to make it a jump shooting contest, Golden State wins all day. All day, in my opinion. The series is 1-1 during the regular season. People are saying the only reason why Golden State won the one time is because LeBron didn't play. Whatever. Whatever. I think Golden State is a better team. I think they'll win by playing the type of game that Cleveland can't play. Because J.R. Smith is inconsistent. Shumpert is inconsistent. If they got to run up and down the court trying to make those buckets to match Klay Thompson, Harrison Barnes, Stephon Curry, and the rest of those guys, it's not going to be pretty. Because Golden State will make their shots more times than miss. With that being said, JT, we got about 6 minutes left of live air. I wanted to jump on something real quick, since we have a little bit of time. That's the NHL playoffs. Tampa Bay Lightning on yesterday eliminated your New York Islanders from the playoffs and are headed to the Stanley Cup Finals to represent the Eastern Conference.
Wait a minute. Slow down. Slow down. Slow your roll. First of all, I'm not a hockey fan. Second of all, it's not the Islanders. It's the Rangers.
Oh, Rangers. I'm sorry. Whatever. So they're going to await the winner of the Chicago Blackhawks and the Anaheim Ducks, which is a very good series as well. I am also not a very big hockey fan. However, since we do cover sports, what do you think needs to happen in order for people to gravitate to this sport? Same time. Is that a mistake?
Nothing much.
Or what?
Excuse me?
I said, is that a mistake or what?
What's a mistake?
Both playoffs and championships happening at the same time.
Well, I don't know if it's going to make a difference, because hardcore NBA fans and people that gravitate to the NBA, it's the NBA, and depending on your fan base, is a more exciting sport versus hockey, and a hockey fan would say the exact opposite. To get more fans to hockey, the only way that's going to happen is through the fan base, the present fan base, gravitates their sons and daughters to come watch a game, watch them on TV, or go to a live game. Fan base of hockey is, I don't know what the growth of it is, the percentage of growth, but I gotta believe it's a lot less than NFL, NBA, baseball. So, because hockey is the fourth on those sports, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's the NFL, then the NBA, then the Major League Baseball, and then hockey, in that order, I think. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's the order of popularity. So if you're not a diehard hockey fan of a particular team, they don't gather too many new fans at the same rate as those other three sports. That's all I say, because I really don't know how to gain in popularity. You got to be more family friendly, more things that involve a family at a hockey game. But, you know, just the way that the Major League Baseball has gotten so many stadiums more family friendly, you bring your whole family, can enjoy it, make it a really family event. And that's why I think Major League Baseball is getting more and more fans, because it's more family friendly. Other than that, I think the NHL is going to be the fourth daughter in line for years to come.
Okay. all right. Well, I just want to
baseball.
Say that we don't have time for baseball. We don't have time for baseball. But I would like to say that hockey is making a resurgence because of the interesting series that these two conferences put on. I don't think it's going to be the knockout, drag-out sport that it once was, whereas everybody's fighting, everybody's interested. I don't think that's going to happen. But we shall see. That being said, I think the Blackhawks have been a very good team as of late the past couple of years, but Anaheim's going to win that and take on Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay gets the victory and hoists the Stanley Cup after it's all said and done. With that being said, 2 minutes left in the show. JT, what do you got coming up on tomorrow's program, The Master Plan?
We're going to talk about FIFA and how corrupt FIFA is, for one. We're going to be talking about the Bow Wow Gate that Mr. FSP has created. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. We're going to talk about the NBA Finals, a little bit more about that. We're going to talk about some baseball and some baseball bad boys that are making a resurgence in their careers. Two of them, in fact, both of them I have on my fantasy lineup, and I think I pulled off a coup for both of them. So we're going to talk about that also, and also about a trade that I posed to Mr. FSP just shortly to see if he's going to pull the string on trade or he's going to reject it one way or the other. We'll see what happens, people. Got a lot to talk about. Hopefully, I'm going to fit it in 1 hour.
I guess I'll do my best to check out that trade. We'll see. But next week, ladies and gentlemen, next week, it begins our annual conference breakdown. Next week, we're starting with the AFC South in your mouth.
Yes. My man. You're a funny guy.
It's time to get it down and dirty. And we'll get on it, ladies and gentlemen. Stick around next week. That's what we're going to do. Promise you, you won't want to miss it. I might not be available during some of them, but JT will hold it down for me. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Better Sports and Politics Saturday edition. We're here every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you have the Master Plan. Come back on Thursdays for FSP Crew Show at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Coming up in the fall, we've got The Extra Point with Lance Goodman and quite possibly No Chaser with Mac Williams and JT ATM Money. We shall see how that goes. But from me to you and from everybody out there, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back? You in the right place, so take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine, but there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy.